Let's start off by praying. Heavenly Father, we just look at your word. It's so awesome. There's so much in it. We'll never find its depths when we just continue our awe at what you're able to expose to us and how personal it is. We thank you for that. And as we read these verses, just please open it up to us so we can see how it affects our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn to Jude, verse 1 and 2. That book is hiding just in front of Revelation. Okay, let's read God's holy word. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, and brother James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. A little introduction to the book of Jude real quick. Jude is written specifically and it's devoted exclusively to apostasy. Jude asked Christians to contend for the faith. Jude asked Christians to have discernment and have a rigorous defense of biblical truth. Jude is a half-brother of Jesus Christ. He's the brother of James, who wrote the book of James, who is the author of the book of James, and who was a leader of the Church of Israel at that time. Jude and his three brothers had rejected Christ while he was living on this earth prior to the resurrection. Completely rejected. They were witnesses to the events around the resurrection. After the resurrection, they all became believers. So here's Jude writing a letter. It's in the New Testament. We don't know who he's writing to. All we know is that he's definitely writing to Christians. We see in these first two verses a secret code. We read that in these two verses, that there is a secret code that identifies believers, who we are. Words which the world and unbelievers do not understand. There are pearls. There are gems. These words describe a relationship with Jesus Christ. The thing that we strive for is a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what we do as Christians. And that's what we believe. These words could be called passwords. Passwords that God reveals to his elect. These words could also be called trademarks. Placed on us that separate us from the world. Look at his writing style real quick, because this helps us break down these two verses. Jude writes in groupings of three. He takes three truths and he lumps them together to make his point. He did it 21 times through the entire book. Everything has three truths to it. In these two verses, we see three groupings of three truths. And that's what we're going to walk through and take a look at. Let's take a look at the first one. Jude, bondservant of Jesus Christ, brother James. We know who Jude is. We know he's brother of James. Let's take a look at bondservant. The Greek word used here is doulos. Doulos, translated strictly into English, is slave. Doulos occurs 124 times in the New Testament. It is not to be interpreted as bondservant or servant. Its strict interpretation is slave. There are separate and distinct translations for servant and bondservant, separate, different Greek words that are used for those two English words. There's only one interpretation for doulos, and that's slave. So let's read it again. Jude, slave of Jesus Christ, brother of James. This is one of the most misinterpreted words in the New Testament, from Greek to English. It is not servant. It is not bondservant. It is slave. Just to give you an example, in the King James Version of Scripture, of the 124 times that doulos is in that in the New Testament, it is translated only once as slave in the King James Version. Sometime, go back to your version that you read and look at the introduction of James, Romans, Philippians, 2 Peter. Is it bondservant or is it slave? So now, when we take a look at the word slave, doulos, that word changes everything for Christians. Everything. There is no other metaphor as frequently used to describe our relationship with Christ. It's slave. To be a Christian is to be a slave. This is not understood by the world. Even translators of Scripture downplay its importance. They choke on the word slave. Why? So let's describe the slave real quick. Let's get some background as to what we're really looking at as far as a slave. A slave was a commodity back in biblical times. A slave was a commodity bought and sold as a living tool or similar to an inanimate object. Just it's something to use. Approximately a third of the world's population during biblical times was probably slaves. It was not a position to be aspired to at all. So why does Jude refer to himself as a slave for Jesus Christ? You need that bottle of water. So why does Jude refer to himself as a slave? He could have said that he was a half-brother of Jesus Christ, and that would give his message and himself more authority. But no, he didn't do that. He referred to him as a slave, as owned by, belonging to, and being wholly subordinate to the master of the Lord. The slave was subservient to the master, living in a state of absolute subjection. Let me repeat that again. Absolute subjection. So when you think of slave, think of absolute subjection. His identity is imposed by the master who gives him his name. You do not choose your master. He chooses you. We had a chance to go on vacation / business trip about a little over a year ago to New Orleans, me and my wife. And what we did is we spent a little time and went on a couple of excursions to visit some of the more famous plantations on the Mississippi River. Wanted to see the architecture, wanted to see a little bit of the way of life back then. Little did I know what the effect that would have on me once I saw what slavery was like. You got a little taste of it. I got a little bit of knowledge of how a slave lived during that period of time. I then was able to take that little bit of knowledge and apply it towards what slavery would have been like during biblical times, when Jude is talking about being a slave to Jesus Christ. I think our lack of seeing slavery today and not having a correct translation in Scripture can cause us to have a misunderstanding of how a relationship with Christ really should be. It's that of being a slave. See, when you understand these truths, your relationship with Christ changes. Your perspective and your priorities change. It is affected by the fact that you are now under total subjection to Christ. It demands dying to self. How many times we've heard that? It demands dying to self and following the Master no matter what the cost. To be a Christian is to be a slave. You were bought and paid for. Christ said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's slave talk. He's talking about us being his slaves. Have you ever seen a real slave? Anybody here ever seen a real slave? Okay, take a minute. Look at the person that's sitting next to you. Go ahead, look at the person next to you. then that person's a slave. Okay? Now look at yourself. Are you a slave to Christ, or are you a slave to sin? That's the only two choices that we have. And if you're a slave to sin, you really don't have a choice. When I take a look at myself, I've got to constantly remind myself of what that word really means. Because too many times in my life, I don't act like I'm a slave of Christ. It just isn't there. I sin. It's still in me. So look at the word and study that word. Its meaning and how it affects your relationship with Christ. Our relationship with Christ is that of being a slave. Our relationship with God is that being a slave. However, God the Father, in turn, adopts us as His kids. We are His kids. Isn't that interesting? Let's go on to the next triad. And that's in the next verse. To those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. This next group describes who he's speaking to, who Jude is speaking to. Called, beloved, and kept. Three words, three truths to make his point. These are terms used to describe the unique position for us as Christians. Called. It's an effective call. Who in his right mind would call themselves a slave unless he was asked to do so? The Master chooses us and he calls us to salvation. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It enables dead sinners to embrace the gospel by truth, by faith. Once we embrace the gospel, we see God loves us and we are His beloved. He saved us because He loves us based totally on His sovereign pleasure for reasons beyond human comprehension. There is no other source for this calling other than God's love. Beloved, the perfect tense of this word indicates God places His love on believers in eternity past with results that continue in the present and into the future. It is His love that is infinite. It's also eternal and is completely secure. That takes us to the next word, which is kept. Secure. Our security comes from kept for Jesus Christ. God completes the salvation through Christ, keeping the believer secure for eternal life. Kept for can also be translated from the Greek to English, kept by. So it can be kept for or kept by. So kept for is eternity. Kept by, that gives us a comfort and security today and peace today in this world. So we can rest in Jesus Christ's eternity, safekeeping in His omniscient hands. So it is basically solid ground that we stand by. That's where we get our security. Now, called, loved, kept. Doesn't that sound like the doctrine of grace? That describes our roots of how we were saved. We do not earn God's love. We don't earn it. And guess what? We cannot lose it. Don't earn it, we can't lose it. So think back when you first became a Christian. What were your feelings? What were your thoughts? What happened to you when you were called, kept, called, beloved, and kept? And, you know, in the study of Scripture, I'm constantly looking at what happened to me when I became a Christian. What was the process there? Looking back is good. It helps you understand a couple of things. The first thing it helps me understand is I want to understand my purpose in life. That's how you come to that understanding. God pours out his abundant blessings on those he calls, loves, and keeps. So now we're getting back into the third triad. Basically, Jude is saying, now I have a prayer for you. I have a request for the believer. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. This is the only place in the New Testament where these three blessings are mentioned together. These are blessings that are given to believers once called to Christ as slaves. Mercy is from God, peace is within, and love is from man. Now mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We are sinners whom God has chosen for salvation, continually receive his outpouring of his mercy. Every day we are in need of mercy because we are still successful in sin. Peace. Why do we strive for peace? It's in us. We strive for peace. Do we know what peace is? Do you know what peace is? Real peace. The thing that reminds me of this, that helps me understand what real peace is, I go back to the New Testament and I see where sinners come to Christ and they ask constantly this question: what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved from my sin? So peace comes from knowing that our sins are forgiven. We want to be accepted by God. Undeserving though we are. This gives us peace in our lives. Mercy provides this acceptance of God, thus producing peace that surpasses our understanding. So it's a peace that's unique, and real peace only comes from God. That's the only place it comes from. So what God places in us is a desire for peace, a desire for inner calm, tranquility promised by God only to believers. I can only, I can say, we all know when we don't have peace. The question is, do you know when you have real peace? In other words, the type of peace that God promises. You know, one exercise you might do is to kind of get a glimpse of God's real peace. Just go to Psalms 23. Think of God's peace when you read that. So Jude speaks of peace, which is a divine origin that transcends human intellect. Peace rules hearts of God's people, enabling them to love men, which is the third blessing. When Jude prays this prayer at the very end about these blessings, you know, what he's not doing is he's not telling us or asking God that these blessings be given to us. We already have them. They are already our blessings. What he's asking for is that they be increased. That these blessings be increased to the believer. The result of mercy is that it produces peace, which allows us to love. It's a sacrificial love. Love is the godly love. So this is the third blessing that he's asking that be increased. In other words, it's our ability to be able to love. Love that only can come from God and only practiced by the call. By this love, all men will know that you are my disciples. So it's that specific love that again comes from God. This identifies us as Christians. This is we are slaves to Christ. These are code words to identify who we are. So look at these blessings and analyze yourself to see if you're in the faith. Do you possess them? You possess the blessings. Are they increasing? These blessings are not understood by the world at all. Blessings are part of the secret code that identify who we are. They're assuming mark placed on us that set us apart from the world. So we're separated. So ask yourself, do you understand and believe in these things? Do you practice daily being a slave of Jesus Christ? Does your testimony reflect a life called, loved by God, and kept for eternity for Jesus Christ? Has God given you mercy, forgiveness of sin, which brings you to real peace, And then that real peace exhibits itself in the love towards others. In these few sentences, in these few verses, James summed up the core of our faith in God and Jesus Christ. This identifies who we are as Christians, as slaves to Jesus Christ. Thank God for His perfect work in us, in our new hearts, which makes us spiritually alive, to see and hear His special messages. When I had you look at your neighbor and asked you if you'd seen him as a slave, then I told you to look at yourself, and I asked you, are you a slave to Jesus Christ, or are you a slave to sin? Remember one thing, and that is that free from sin equals slave to Christ. Yeah. Look at yourself. Are these things part of you, or are these things foreign to you? So let's take a minute and pray. Heavenly Father, it is so wonderful to be a slave of yours, to be a slave to a perfect master, to a loving and kind master, one that gives us these blessings, one that gives us our salvation, one who called us, loved us, and kept us. Thank you for the love that you bestowed upon us to save us in Jesus' name.